Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud. We're holding still at the beginning of the sugya, which is at the Mishnah on Tet Amud Beit. We're about to discuss the inyanim of Kedushas HaOretz and the different dinim of the various stages which Klal Yisrael brought korbanos. So in order to do that, we need just to go over a little bit of the history of things so that we know when we were making the Mishkan, so only those korbanos that we were able to be brought in the Mishkan could be brought. A person could no longer bring korbanos the way it used to be, wherever you were. You simply built a mizbeach. You couldn't, by the way, just shecht a korban. Even where it's mutter, you always have to build a mizbeach. Or it used to be you could put up a matzeva and that became aser. But even beheter abomes, there is a din of mizbeach. So you can't just stomp shecht. But before Hakamas HaMishkan, you were able to build a boma, and a boma is a mizbeach that you build in the open, and you wherever you want. And this would be the way that things were all the way up until the time of the Mishkan. So Adam HaRishon was makriv an boma, Avram Avinu, Noach, and so on and so forth. The moment that there was a Kedushas HaMishkan, it became usher to be makriv anywhere else. When we entered into Eretz Yisrael, so then what happened was, is that the Orein was not put together with the Mishkan, because the Orein was taken out with them during the Milchamais, and therefore the Bamais were mutter, because even though the Mishkan had been set up in Gilgal, it did not have a din of that same Kedusha that prevented you from bringing Korbanais elsewhere. So during that period of the Sheva Shechokshu, the Sheva Shechoku, that was 14 years. In Gilgal, it was mutter once again to be makriv bebama. Then, when you came along and built Shiloh, that was a whole different issue. In Shiloh, there was a real Mishkan, but that was a Mishkan that was a step towards a Migdash. And that was that there were, even though there was still the tent on the roof was still the tent of the Mishkan. However, there was a binyan of avanim that was similar to an actual building. So the difference, however, is that during the time of Gilgal, the Mizbeach that was in Gilgal had a din of a boma gedola, which is a boma tzibor. And the other small bamais that everybody would put on his rooftop, so to speak, the rooftop bamais or portable bamais, wherever you would build a mizbeach, those were called the boma kitana. Once you came in to Shiloh, and the pasuk says, "Kilo batem adata el ha-menucha ve'el ha-nachala," and we understand that the first stage of nachala is menucha. Menucha means after the war of 14 years in the chaluk, including the chalukah, so there was a sense of menucha. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim learn that the meaning of Menucha is in terms of the Orein itself, not in terms of people. And the Menucha means that there was a Mokom that was semi-kavua, which means that Shiloh was no longer, remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself calls the Mishkan Hayiti Mitalech Ba'oralu V'Mishkan. So Hayiti Mitalech means that the Shechina Kavayachol didn't have a Mokom Menucha. So the moment that we came to Shiloh, and Shiloh lasted a very long time, 369 years. I mean, that's like, it's four centuries. That's major. So we come to Shiloh, and we call that Menucha for either of those two reasons. There's also even a remez in Shiloh that it's a lotion of Shalva. Some say so that Shalva is Menucha. Anyway, during that entire period, bomos of any type are us. And you can't bring any korban outside of Beis HaMikdash upon pain of an Isser Karas. Then, after the story with Eli and the capturing of the Orein with the Plishtim and the terrible tragedy, Shiloh was destroyed. And at that point, the Bomais became mutter because it was no longer a Mokom Menucha. So what they did was they built a Bomas Tzibur and they brought the Orein into Nov, but that was called a Bomas Tzibur, not an actual Mishkan. And then we had the horrible story of Shaul HaMelech, who went and had the Kohanim of Nov killed. So then they went from Nov to Givon. Okay, so during the time Nov was a brief period of 13 years, and then there was another 44 years that was in the period of Givon, until finally there was the Binyan in Yerushalayim, and once there was a Binyan in Yerushalayim, we understood that to be El HaNachala, so El HaMenucha. And by the way, it's also merumas in the word Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a lashon of Yerusha as well, which is Nachala. And it's easy to remember this, even as Machlokas, Mais, and Zvachim, which one is which. But the Pashta says Shalva is Shiloh, Yerushalayim is Yerusha, easy way to remember. And once you were bought him, El HaNachala, so then there was no heter in between. The raya that after the Churban of Shiloh there must have been a heter is because what is the point of saying kilobatim adata el ha-menucha v'ladachala if once you come to the menucha, the bomos are going to be usher forever? So obviously there must be a period between menucha and nachala, and that period would be mutter. So that means that after the Churban of Shiloh, and the building of between the Churban of Shiloh and the building of Yerushalayim, bombas were mutter again. So it wasn't something that was kavua. So now that means that we've got a couple of things to consider. And that is, what are the differences between Shiloh and Yerushalayim? Are there any differences other than the fact that the bombas became mutter after the Churban of Shiloh and not after the Churban of Yerushalayim? And we need to also consider, what is the difference between a Bomas Tzibur, a Bomas Yochid, and the Mishkan itself? So in other words, what things were mutter to bring by any individual on their rooftop Boma, and what things were only mutter to be brought by the Tzibur on a Bomas Tzibur, or by a Yochid, maybe certain things he could bring, but only if he came to the center, and the center was the Bomas Tzibur. So let us start off with our Halakha Mishnah. Ein bein bama gedola le bama ketana, ela psachim. Interesting. Korban Pesach, it claims, is the only difference between a bama gedola and a bama ketana. I mean, that's a little weird. Remember that psachim is a very, very unique korban, because it is actually a korban yochid, but it has the dinim of a korban tzibur in the sense that it's doichetuma, and it's boya, as the Gemara we had back in Pesachim utilizes again and again. So it's boya b'knufya. It comes together only as Klal Yisrael, as a group. So even though everybody's bringing their own Korban Pesach as a Korban Yochid, but it has those elements. So the mashma'ut over here is that you can only bring your Korban Pesach on a Bomas Tzibur. So you can't, even though you're bringing a Pesach without a Mishkan, but you could bring the Korban Pesach on a Bomas Tzibur. Now, that's very strange, because, I mean, what about the actual Korbanos Tzibur? I mean, let's forget about the Psachim themselves. I mean, isn't it a major difference that you can bring the Tamid, let's say, or the Musafim, you could bring them also on a Bama Tzibur, no? So wouldn't that be a difference between a Bama Ketana and a Bama Gedela? Why does the Mishnah say Dafka Psachim? Now, there is a way out of that question. And that the Gemara is going to use as its solution, but it's not an obvious solution for a very simple reason. The way out would be to say that Psachim represents a class of Karbonas which is best expressed by the Korban Pesach, namely, that it is a Chovah that has a Zman Kavua. So if it's a Chovah that has a Zman Kavua, we don't have to worry about the difference between Korban Tzibur and Korban Yochid, because the truth is, there is only one korban that is a kavua chiyuv on an individual. And however, if we're going to say that that's what the meaning is, then we're going to have to accept a difficult truth, which is that the difference between the Mishkan and a non-Mishkan would be that in the Mishkan, and only in the Mishkan, you would be able to bring korbanos tzibur of any kind. That would be the difference. In other words, what we thought was that there's two different issues. One thing is that there's a difference between a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur. And now we're bringing up Psachim as if that is somehow some other class. But is that the case? So if I asked you, what's the difference? You wouldn't Pashta say, well, if it's a Bamas Tzibur, you can bring a Korban Tzibur. And if it's a Bamas Yochid, then you can only bring a Korban Yochid. And very simple. But to use Psachim as the indicator tells us that that's not the point. The point is the difference between kavuazman and non-kavuazman, which would mean that even a carbon tzibur cannot be brought on a bamas tzibur. Where is there a carbon tzibur that is not kavuazman? Suppose you've got a par helam davar shel tzibur, or you have si'irei avodat kochavim. Those are karbanot tzibur, but they can't be brought if you can only bring something that is kavuazman. This is clearly not something that is kavuazman. That means that we're going to have to force our Mishnah into that interpretation. So, okay, that's what our Gemara is going to do. Zeh klal. And then the Mishnah comes along with a klal, which is that koshu nidar v'nidav korev b'bama, v'koshu eno lo nidar v'lo nidav eno korev b'bama. So you can bring anything which is able to be brought as a neder or as an adava. That can be brought in a bama. This should not confuse us, because we're not talking about the difference between bringing on a bama and a non-bama. We're talking about the difference between a bama ketana and a bama gedola. And therefore, what the Mishnah must mean is that if you can make a neder to bring it, meaning it's a voluntary carbon, so by definition, it's not kavuazman, that you can bring on a bama ketana, when it says here bama. But anything that is a chiyuv, you cannot bring, whether it's yachid, here we're talking about even a carbon tzibur, but it can't be brought on a bama ketana. It can only be brought on a bama gedola. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand, why is psachim the point? There's so many differences. I mean, where are you going to bring the carbon tamid? Where are you going to bring a carbon musaf? Don't you have to go to the bama's tzibur? So isn't that one of the differences between a bamas yachid and a bamas tzibur? Of course, what the Mishnah means is the class of karbonos that are like the korban pesach, meaning, and that's why korban pesach is the only way to say this, you see, meaning, I'm not talking about the difference between a korban yachid and a korban tzibur, because a korban pesach is essentially a korban yachid. But I am talking about the difference between a korban that has a time and a carbon that doesn't have a time. And that is the difference, which teaches us that even a carbon tzibur cannot be brought on a bama tzibur unless it has a zman kavua. In which case, Rebbe did a brilliant thing by bringing psachim, because psachim is the only example, which makes it very clear it's both kavua zman, but it's not a carbon tzibur. So, oh my gosh, that means that even a korban tzibur I wouldn't be able to bring if it weren't kavua l'zman. So it's a really beautiful way of saying the Mishnah. If you don't see it with that perspective, it's come to Gemara, it's like really weird. Why is the Mishnah talking about a korban pesach where it really means anything that's like a korban pesach? It's clear. Now, but if it's true, then that means that it is not considered to be a Mishnah that is everybody's das, because that's a big question. Money. Who is the Tana that holds that you cannot bring a carbon tzibur on a bamas tzibur unless it is something that is a chovash kavualem zman? Who is that Tana? That's the question. That is Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af tzibur lo ikrivo ala psochim v'chovash kavualem zman. Even a tzibur as a whole could not bring anything but a carbon that was kavur lemzman, will include even the carbon pesach, even though it's not literally the tzibur, it means the community as opposed to the din of the tzibur as a corporation, so to speak. And that's exactly what our Mishnah is saying. If it doesn't have a kviyazman, so then you cannot bring it anywhere, even on a bama gedela. And now it's time for a very fast word from our Halakha Talisker. So now the question is, what is the difference between the first stop in which we have a menucha and the second stop in which we have an achala? Ein ben shiloh l'Yerushalayim, ela shebishiloh ochlim kachim kalim umaisusheni b'chol haro'eh, u'b'Yerushalayim lifnim min hachoma. The only difference is that in Yerushalayim, you needed to have a mechitza to give you the kedusha of achila for kachim kalim. And in Yerushalayim, you would therefore only be able to eat inside the wall. If there was no wall, so then you, lechora, would not be able to eat anything. When it came to Shiloh, You could eat as long as you could see the Mishkan Shiloh. So it doesn't matter how far away you were. And this is the chelek of Yosef, as the Gemara says, excuse me, in Zvachim, that Ayin Shalom Ratzta Lehenot Bimar Sheinah Shalom, Yochal Bechol HaRoeh. Anything that you see, and remember that's Merumas, Bechol Makom Asher Tir'eh. Yishom Lechem Penta Aleh, Tolotech Bechol Makom Asher Tir'eh. Ah, so that's Gufa, the Inin of Re'ian Shiloh. So the difference, therefore, would be in the dinim of achila. But when it comes to all that is benogea kachim kalim, because that's where you can eat b'chol haroeh, and that's where you eat in Yerushalayim, but you can't eat kachim kachim in Yerushalayim. So therefore, whether you're talking about Shiloh or whether you're talking about Yerushalayim, kochei kodashim need to be eaten lifnim in haklaim. Klaim is the way that we always refer to the Azara, because the original Azara, as defined in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, is the Mishkan. And the Mishkan had curtains, didn't have a wall, obviously. The wall was curtains. So that's why I refer to it as the curtains. Kedushat Shiloh. Now, the difference also has to do with the historical presence of Shiloh Yerushalayim. Because Kedushat Yerushalayim never has any heter. Ein acharei heter. Mashen kein, as we pointed out before, the very fact that the Torah defines the difference between Menucha v'Nachala means that there's got to be a gap between Menucha v'Nachala, which means that after the Korban of Shiloh, which was Menucha, and you hadn't yet come to Nachala, at that point, Gnov and Givon, you were once again Mutter in Abama. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says a fascinating thing, that I was mekabel from my Rebbe. Shamati shemakrivim bebet chonyo bizman hazeh. I heard. Now, you remember the story of chonyo. Chonyo was, we learned that in Menachas. And I think, Naftali, I think Gavi's father is still involved in grinding lenses. Is that correct, Gavi? Okay, so you've got a great place to go for those prescription sunglasses that we're waiting for there.
It's always good to have a lens in.
Okay. So, and they're excellent lenses, as I can attest to personally. So, as a matter of fact, I think we sent that your driver to pick up those lenses, if you recall, many years ago. But we sent your driver down to the lab to actually get those lenses. So remember the whole funny story about Shimon HaTzadik's children. So Shimon HaTzadik had two children, Chonyo and Shimi. And they got into something of a tiff. Because what happened is that there are two versions. I'm going to go through the whole complex story because there's two completely different versions of the story, one of which blames Chonyo, one of which blames Shimi. But anyway, Shimon HaTzadik, as he was dying, he said that the Kohen Gadol should be his younger son, who was Chonyo. And so in one version, Chonyo didn't want to accept it, and he insisted that Shimi be the one, and then he changed his mind, and he decided he does want it. He tried to mess up Shimi. Or the other approach was that Shimi was very jealous. Why did his father give it to Chonyo? And another one of these awful brother stories. And so in any event, both stories have Chonyo needing to run away. So Chonyo runs away, either because his brother messed him up or because he had attempted to mess up his brother and they found out what he tried to do, which was a chilul HaKodesh, because he's going to have the Kohen Gadol do Aveda and his wife's clothes. It was ridiculous. Anyway, so he ran away and he built a temple in Alexandria, and that temple was big machlokas. Like, what do you mean you built a temple? I mean, obviously it's a chi of Karis. If you build something outside to bring karbonas. So there's a whole question whether it was maybe it was a church of some kind. Maybe it was a Beit Avodah Zarah. So really, one man, the armor, he really went, you know, completely off the derech, and he built this for Avodah Zarah. According to another approach, he built this as a bama for goyim. This is how Tosus understands it, that he didn't want people to be over on the Isser Bama, but since there's no Isser of Bama on a Goy, so what he did, so fine, that was wrong. You're not allowed to be makre for a Goy. The Goy is allowed to be makre, not allowed to be makre for the Goy, but in any event, it was not a Beit Avodah Zarah. And now that the Beis HaMikdash is unfortunately temporarily not with us, so because of that, Rabbi Yitzchak says, okay, but now that Yerushalayim was destroyed, you would be allowed to bring a korban in Beit Chonya. Wow. That's like, not like the Mishnah, obviously. The Mishnah says once Yerushalayim was built, there's never a heter to bring again. So number one, it's clear that Rabbi Yitzchak holds that Beit Chonya is not for Avodah Zarah. That was a machlokas. He paskins like that man diyamar. And furthermore, it's clear that he holds that kosamar kedusha rishana kedusha l'shaita v'lo kedusha l'atid l'vo, so that the kedusha of Yerushalayim only applied during the time that Yerushalayim was extant. But when Yerushalayim was choruv, so then that kedusha became batel. And if that kedusha became batel, so then the heter abomis ought to come back. That's what we're assuming. That there's two separate dinim over here. In other words, when we say lo batem adata la menucha v'la nachala, what we're talking about is that as long as there is the kedusha of nachala, so then you're not allowed to. But if there's no kedusha of nachala, then you would be allowed to bring korbanos elsewhere. Now, he says, it says beferish ki lo batem adata la menucha v'la nachala, and I'm going to use that pasuk to say the opposite of what you believe. I'm going to say that basically the Torah is comparing menucha and nachala. So just like from the very fact that menucha and nachala are mentioned in the pasuk, ipso facto, there has to be a gap between the menucha and the nachala. So the same thing would be true of after Yerushalayim. So we understand menucha to mean Shiloh, nachala to mean Yerushalayim, and we have a hekesh. Makish nachala lo menucha, in the same way that we see clearly in the pasuk, Menucha has to mean yesh acharei heter, and after the korban of Shiloh, it is okay to bring a korban of nachala yesh acharei heter. So must be the same thing is true. Menucha is compared with nachala, and both of them have a heter after korban. So then when they hear this from Reb Yitzchak, they say to him, did you really say that? And his response was, me? Huh, never. Which, of course, means that I've changed my mind. So, Amrit, so he says, no, me, I didn't ever say that. Omar Rava, Elohim, Amar Rava Gamir, I swear to God, he said it. I personally heard it from him. Don't tell me he never said it. So, I mean, I could tell you why he changed his mind, that's for sure. He changed his mind because of Rav Mori. Because Rav Mori pointed out to him, it's a little bit strange, Rav Mori pointed out to him, Rav Yitzchak didn't know the Mishnah, but we'll talk about that in a moment. But Rav Mori pointed out to him that what you say about Beit Chonyo is contradicted by two separate Mishnayos. First of all, there's the Mishnah that we just had over here in Masechet Megillah. It says over here, Kedushat Shiloh yesh acharei heter, but Kedushat Yerushalayim ein acharei heter ever. So that means even if Yerushalayim was destroyed, there would be no heter for bringing Obama. And you're claiming you're allowed to go to Obama and this Beit Chonyo and you can bring a korban there. Not to mention the fact that in the Mishnah in Zvachim, it also says very beautifully, Mi shabo li Yerushalayim, nesru abamot, once they come to Yerushalayim, lo hayalahem od heter, ever. Vihi aitan nachala. That's what the pasuk means when it says, lobatem adlan nachala. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak hears this, as if like suddenly he becomes aware of the fact that he was saying something against the Mishnah, and he changes his mind. Now, the Gemara immediately points out that obviously Rabbi Yitzchak's not crazy. He knew that there was a machlokas tanoim. I'm going to show you that there's a machlokas tanoim. Of course, if there is a machlokas tanoim, then why did he change his mind? I mean, the whole thing is a little bit strange. So this we'll talk about in a moment, but where was the machlokas tanoim that led Rabbi Yitzchak to say what he said? It's not because we know that we have the Mishnah in Idyos, very interesting Mishnah, which remember Idyos is about giving over testimony in front of the Beis Din HaGadol, in which all of the things that had been forgotten or that required some actual evidence hadn't been said, and they made a point of getting everything together and putting it together, and all of these separate issues were put together in Masechet Idyos. And that's important to understand the context in order for us to understand the Gemara. So what happened over there is that reading a Mishnah in Idyos, the way you read any Mishnah, here would be the way that we would understand it. Omer Rabbi Elias, Shamati kishayu bonim b'hechal, osim kla'im la'hechal u'kla'im la'azara. So what I heard was that after the Koresh proclamation, so everybody comes back to build the Beis HaMikdash. This was before Ezra, 22 years before Ezra. So everybody comes, according to Ramban, it was even Rov Yisrael comes, tremendous Kiddush of the Ramban. We spoke about it at the beginning of the Masechet. But anyway, everyone comes to build. And in order to start bringing Karbanas right away, because they didn't want to wait. It took them, in the end, it took them 22 years to actually finish it because of all of the political problems. So in order to actually have Uvdot Peshetach, as they say in modern terminology, so they put up these curtains, and these curtains were the bayit, so a curtain that was the shape of the bayit that they were going to build. And then they put up curtains around the chutzar, which of course would be the azara that they were going to build. So now they've got a functional Beis HaMikdash, and they put up a mizbeach, and now they can bring karbanos. The only difference is that when it came to the heichal, they didn't want the workmen to be standing inside of the heichal, because now they're going to put up the kolayim, so the worker are going to have people sitting there for 22 years. So they put the curtains were on the inside, and then they built the wall around the curtains. That way they could build from the outside. Mashenkin and the Azara, they did it the other way around. So they put the curtains on the outside, and then they could stand on the inside in the Azara, and you could build. So Abazara bonim bibifnim. But other than that, it was the same type of curtains. Now, Rabbi Yoshua comes along and says, which again, if this was a normal Mishnah, I would understand it this way, that he argues, and he says, well, I heard, Shemakrivim afal pisha ain bayit, and ochlim kachim kachim afal pisha ain kalayim. I heard you don't need curtains. I heard that you can go ahead and you can go bring a karma bizman hazeh. Even if there's no building, and you can eat kachim kachim in the place where the original Azara was. Ah, why would that be? Because the original Kedusha was still there. And there's no din that you would dafka have to have walls in order to be able to eat. You need the Kedusha. So in order to make the Kedusha, you first have to define the area with mechitzas. Then when you define the area with mechitzas, so then we have the whole story of, you know, you go ahead and you bring tmidim and you walk around with it. And then there was a whole process in which we brought Kedusha to the Azara and so on. Okay, so you do that. But if the original Kedusha at the time of the original building of Yerushalayim was still extant, so then you wouldn't need to have the curtains. I heard you don't need to have the curtains. You can simply go to the place of the Mizbeach. You don't need the Heichal to be there. And that place of the Mizbeach still has the Kedusha they had when it was originally put there, a Pesach Ol Moed. There's the Pesach Ol Moed. The fact that you don't see it is meaningless because the Kedusha is independent on your seeing it right now. So that original Kedusha remains even after the Churban. Now, doesn't that mean, as far as I would, and this is the way I would normally understand the Mishnah, doesn't that mean that we're facing a machlokas over here, right? So it's Rabbi Eliezer, he's saying, no, you don't need curtains. He's just saying, what's the point of curtains? The Kedusha was, Rabbi Yeshua, you don't need curtains, Rabbi Eliezer, therefore was saying, no, you do need curtains. Why do you need curtains? Because the original Kedusha wasn't there, le'atid lavo. And therefore, you needed to put up curtains in order to bring the Kedusha to be able to bring Korbanos. So therefore, we have a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer as to whether Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita Vikichelati Davo. And what Ramari was saying, or Rabbi Yitzhak rather was saying, was that Ramari's kasha is not fine. This stand that the Mishnah holds that it's Osir because Kedusha Rishona, of course, there's a little bit of a mix-up over here, because Kedusha Rishena usually means the first Kedusha at the time of Yoshua. And when we're saying over here, Kedusha Rishena, we're talking about, in our terms, Bizman Hazeh, with Rabbi Yitzchak. Obviously, he's not talking about Kedusha Rishena necessarily, but the Kedusha means the original Kedusha, wherever it came from. I don't know if it came from Yoshua, if it came from Aliyah of Ezra, but wherever it came from, that Kedusha, what Rabbi Yitzchak was talking about, it's called Bizman Hazeh. This machlokas was nogea, literally original kedusha, because it's talking about at the time of Ezra whether you needed to do a re-kedusha. Okay, but that's not disturbing because the concept is similar. So you see that there's a machlokas, which means that l'chora Rav Mori could have been answered. Rav Mori's kasha. Rav Yitzchak could have simply said, "Listen, I understand that our Mishnah is going according to Mandi Omar that the kedusha is permanent." Said Ravina to Ravashi, now wait a second over here. you're reading this Mishnah as if it's a regular Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Idyos. And since it's a Mishnah in Idyos, how do you know to read it that way? Maybe all that happened is that this single Mishnah records the testimony of two people about events. It has nothing to do with a description of their shitot. And basically, maybe everybody agrees. Maybe everybody agrees that it's a permanent Kedusha and that you, once it's Usur in Yerushalayim, it's forever Usur in Yerushalayim, which is what we're assuming the two issues are the same. And Rabbi Eliezer was saying what he had heard, and Rabbi Yeshua was saying what he had heard, and it was irrelevant to the question of building these curtains. That was not the point. So Rabbi Eliezer was simply saying what he had heard, and Rabbi Yeshua was saying what he had heard. And if you ask me, so then I understand. If even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you didn't need curtains to bring the Kedusha, then why did you build curtains? What makes you think he was telling you why you build curtains? You build the curtains because it's not nice to have an open shetach where all the Aveda is being done and everybody's looking in. So you put up curtains, ritznias, that's all. But how do you know that it had something to do, that these two statements had something to do with each other? I made it to you that I'm just telling you historical facts were that they put up curtains. Rabbi Yeshua doesn't argue on that. He's saying, I'm telling you that I was makabo, that you could be makriv without any mechitzas. One has nothing to do with another. So the Kloyim L'Rebbe Eliezer, that was Litzniut B'Yama. That was just to keep things appropriately covered. That's all. So how do you know that there's a Machlokas Tanoim that you're saying Rabbi Yitzchak was going according to Waman D'Yama? Okay, fine. There's another Machlokas, okay? In a bright. Elikeani Tanoi. The Tanyom Rabbi Yishmael B'Rabbi Yossi. Lama Manucha Chomim Etelo. So we had spoken about this issue before. We were talking about Lud and Geharashim and so on. Anyway, so we had a list of nine cities. Really, it's only eight cities. Rashi says nine cities, apparently, to call, including Lud, which wasn't listed, but whatever. It says over there in the Braita, what was the point of listing these cities specifically when we know that there were so many other cities? I mean, it's Shishim Ir, Kol Chevel Argov, one area itself at Shishim Ir that were Bitzurot. I mean, there must have been hundreds and hundreds of Bote Ari, of Ari Choma, if we're talking about Shishim Ir Kol Chevel Argov alone. So therefore, explain to me, what was the point of counting a small number of cities? So Lama Manu Atela, what was the point of saying these cities? The point was that they had no choice. They had to be re-mekadesh these cities because Kisha'alu b'nei ha-gola matzu et elu v'kichum. So when they came back at the time of Ezra, they found these cities and they actually made them Kodesh again. But all of those other cities, hundreds of cities, that was Batol Mishabat La'aretz. So there they lost the Kedusha Sa'aretz at that time. And Memela, they are no longer considered to be Batol Arechayma. So Alma Kasava Kedusha Rishon Kichel L'Shaitim Alor Kichel Atid Lavo. Big machlokas, very big machlokas about over whether this has anything to do with reading the Megillah, which Rashi says that the kichum would be to give them all of the dinim of Batei Arechema, which would mean the dinim of sending out the mitzera and the sale of Batei Arechema and Kriyas HaMegillah, which everybody else yells about. What does that have to do with the Kedusha? Okay, but anyway, so you see from here that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi holds that Kedusha Rishonah Kichala Sha'ata V'lo Kichala Atid Lavo, since they needed to be re-mekadesh these cities, so obviously the original Kedusha at the time of Yeshua no longer was meaningful. So we needed to have a new one. So now we've got a contradiction, and the contradiction ends up becoming the Machlokas Tanoim, as we'll see in a moment. So V'raminu, here Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says it in a slightly different twist, and that different twist makes all the difference in the world, in which the language is, V'chielu bilvada, you what, were these the only cities? V'alo kvar nemar shishimi ir kol chevel argov. I mean, look how many cities there were. Kol ela arim b'tsurot chomag v'ha. It says all of these cities were like big cities that were fortified cities. El alama manu chachamim etelu. So why then were these particular towns counted? Because Kisha'alu b'nei ha-golah matzu elu v'kichum, when the b'nei ha-golah came up, they found these cities and made them Kodesh. What are you talking about? You're about to say they don't need to make them Kodesh. You say v'kichum? What do you mean kichum? You're saying Hashta Amrit Lo Tzricha LeKedusha. At the end of your sentence, you're obviously introducing the fact that you don't need Kedusha. Sorry. Matsu Ela Umana So this was basically an archaeological question. They just identified these cities. So they counted all of those cities, and they told you which cities were which. And there was no need to make them Kodesh, as we'll see in a moment. Velo Elo Bilvad, because these are not the only cities that have all of these dinims. Kol Shetal Alecha Mesorot B'yadcha Me'avotecha. Even if you don't have Reb Barnea and his team of archaeologists working Yoma V'layla to identify, if you have a Mesera, we've been living in this town for centuries. We know that this was a city that had the Kedusha, Mekefes Choma, Mimot Yoshua Ben Nun. All of the dinim of Mitzvah Salolo are noagim. Why? Because Kedusha Rishona Kitchela Shaita, Vikichelati Lavo. So here we got a contradiction. Does Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi hold that they were just Minaum and they didn't need to be Kichum like the second Braita? Or did he hold that they actually needed to be Kichum like the first Braita? So you see that there's a stira in Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Kash Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel. And says the Gemara, there are trei Tanoia libe the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Right. So now we know that there are two Tanoim. That's a Machlokas Tanoim. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak really had what to say. I mean, you don't necessarily have to say that it's a Machlokas Tanoim about what the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. You could say, Vibay Seima, that the second Braisa was going alib the Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, not the way we thought. It was not Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. It was Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, because we know that there is a Shita like that of Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi. Netanya, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, this was what we had before. Asher lo choma, remember it's spelled Asher lo with an olive, so it's coming to tell me it doesn't even have the wall now. It retains all its Kedusha because it was originally built as a walled city and therefore it's considered to have Kedusha, but the Arichema, despite the fact that it was destroyed. Yes, Rabbi Barnea.
Now we have a big black stone ahead of us, but this is from the most fascinating finds in the country. So as they're excavating in Shiloh in the 1970s, Yitzhak Magin, the archaeologist, tells Ira Rappaport, I don't understand what I'm seeing. Everywhere here, there is pottery from the time of the Nachla strewn as if it was planted. You get up to this rise where the shul of Shiloh is now today, and it disappears. There's nothing. It's just the blank. And there's a low wall, which doesn't appear to be a destroyed wall because it has a top on it. The pottery is all on this side, and there's nothing on the other side. So later he went to Rev Ben Nun.
Do it fast, Barnea, because we've all heard this story before. Yeah.
And Rev Chanan Ben Nun started jumping up and down. He said, you found the Mechol Haroeh. From this point, people saw, and you have hundreds of years of pottery strewn as if planted.
You have to explain why pottery is strewn.
Because everybody's eating on the hills all around in sight of the Mishkan without having to be there. And this wall was not...
You have to explain why there's pottery strewn. You still haven't.
People ate karbanos and ate karban shlamim within view of the Mishkan.
No, because you're mechuyev to break your pottery. That's the point. You have to break it where you ate it. Because since it was eaten with kachim, the halacha is kli cheres yishaver. So all of the pottery was busted there, and that's why you've got tons. Exactly. It's beautiful.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Zev Ehrlich checked in all the hills around, and that you find this wall, and behind it you don't see it. Once you're standing on all within, you see the plateau where it's suggested to be Makom Mishkan. There's three opinions of where, but this fits very beautifully.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Yasher kochacha. May we be zocha to visit with you very soon. A Mishkan Shiloh. And of course, I'm sure we will have cross time tours, Bezrat Hashem, which I think it's kedai for you to take the name now and copyright it, cross time tours, so that we should be able to actually visit Mishkan Shiloh and see all of this as it's going on with Reb Barnea, whose neighborhood now includes not only space, but time as well.
Time. Yes. Remember, Rebbe's Talmud Shimi Siegel is right there in Shiloh.
Yes.
It works. Opposite right there.
Amazing. For Russia. Okay. So therefore, this does give us a machlokas, halacha lemaisa, it seems to be, about whether bomas are mutter or not mutter. Okay, that's how it seems to be ending up. Now, this is not at all clear that there actually is such a machlokas, because, as Tosfos here on the daf points out, well, if there really is such a machlokas, so then why did Rabbi Yitzchak say, no, I never said it? I mean, he obviously knew what Rav Mori had asked him. He knew the man. Tosfos points out, I mean, how could he not know Mishnah? The whole point of a Mishnah is everybody knows the Mishnah. So what was he thinking? So Tosfos here brings the approach of Rabbi Nuchayim, which is not only his approach. Many of the Rishonim talk about it. And of course he knew this, right? And Rabbi Yitzchak thought that if he's going according to that shita, that must be the shita that his Rebbe was saying. So he said it over, that this is the way I was mekabel. And at the end, he realized that there may not be any relationship between the two issues. Because the question of whether Kedusha Rishona is Kitcha L'Shaita or Kitcha L'Atid Lavo is the question of whether you're allowed to bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash B'Zman HaZeh. But how do you know that it meant also that if it wasn't Kodesh L'Atid Lavo, that therefore, by definition, if there's no Yerushalayim, there's a Heter Abomais? That does not follow. So there may be, it was a mistake, he realized, maybe, what he was taught, because you can't rely on it to go against the Mishnah to say that Bamas are Usser forever. And it's so clear the way it's so beautifully brought out. V'lo ha'yalayim od heter. So therefore, what must this whole discussion be in Idyas and with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi? It's simply the question of whether you have a Kedusha in Yerushalayim Bizman HaZeh or not. But not if you don't have a Kedusha in Yerushalayim, that therefore you can build a Bama. So according to that approach, a Boma is Aser Bizman HaZeh according to everybody, and that's why he changed his mind. So then the only question that would be Nogea La Halacha would be, are you allowed to be Makriv a Korban Bizman HaZeh? Now that is indeed a big Machlokas, and that was a very important Machlokas at the time that there was the whole political movement to restart the Korbanos. Because of that, it became a very embittered issue that is also part of the Tchelis problem. Because they wanted to do anything. Those who were anti the reawakening of desire for Eretz Yisrael as a political thing, they were willing to find any possible reason to tell you that you couldn't bring a korban bizman hazeh. So one of the most important reasons was the fact, well, even if you could bring a korban bizman hazeh, it doesn't mean you don't need kahuna in the Mokom HaMikdash. So you're going to need Kohanim. But if Kohanim don't have Big Day Kahuna, then they're not Kohanim, because they're only Kahuna Tamalayim Bismach Big Day Amalayim. And since you need to have Tcheles in the Big Day Kahuna, in the Avnet, and you don't know what Tcheles is, so now when the Reginer came along and claimed to have discovered Tcheles, you understand the bitterness of the response. It was not so bitter because of the Machlokas about whether it was Tcheles. It was bitter because it was a political hot potato. And this of course, is still a hot potato, all of these questions. You're allowed to go up to this also the question, if there is Kedusha Bizman HaZeh, so then you're not allowed to go up to the Mokom HaMikdash. And yet, many of the Rishonim bring that it was common, that people used to go up to the Mokom HaMikdash, that it's not Kedusha Bizman HaZeh. And also, I just want to bring up the Rambam's very particular Shita, which is strange based on the Gemara. And that is that the Rambam learns that even though the sugya over here seems to make the issue of Kedusha Yerushalayim to be exactly the question about Kedusha of Batei Arei Chaima, the Rambam learns that there's two totally different issues. One has to do with Kedusha Haaretz, and that has to do with Batei Arei Chaima in terms of the original Kedusha. But the other has to do with Kedusha Yerushalayim. Now, according to the Rambam, the whole point over here is that Kedushas Yerushalayim has nothing to do with the Kedusha of the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Because where did the Kedusha of Yerushalayim come from? The building of the Mikdash. And the building of the Mikdash is the Kedusha of the Shechina. And as the Rambam puts it, the Kedusha Shechina ain't a betela. So therefore, according to him, it's obvious that we can't rely on this to go against the Mishnah that says now that Yerushalayim is Choruv, you'd be allowed to build a Bama, because nobody was saying that Yerushalayim. That's the easiest way to get out of the reason that Rav Mori said, no, I never said it, because it actually, there wasn't a real machlokas. Once we were deicha the machlokas based on the Mishnah in Idios, which had to do with Yerushalayim, we have come on to Brises, which talk about Gedushas Batei Arechayma. There's your answer right there. What does that have to do with Yerushalayim? So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak said, no, I never said it. Of course, you're not allowed to bring a korban in Beis Chodyo Bisman Hazeh. Which brings us to the next important moment in which we begin Megillas Esther. So, Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh. Okay, we've got a lot to say about that Vayihi, and then we realize, wait a minute, Vayihi is the first word. What about the introduction? So then we'll get back to the introductions. So, but first we start with that overall sense of Vayihi. Omer Rabbi Levi, v'itema Rabbi Yonatan, davar zeh misoreh b'yadeinu mi'an sheh kneset ha'gedola. Every mention of the word Vayihi is always a problem. Kol makom shenemar Vayihi einu ela loshon tzar. We'll give you examples. Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh, what happens? Haman, disaster. Vayihi b'mei Shvot HaShoftim, next words are about the great famine. Havahira of Baaretz. Vayihi ke'echel adam lorov. What does it say? The beginning of the marble issues. Vayara Hashem kira bara ata adam. Vayihi benos am mikedem. That was the beginning of the Dora Palaga. Hava nivna lanu ir. Vayihi b'mei Amraphel. What happens next? The First World War. Asur milchama. Vayihi b'yot Yoshua b'Yericho. That we just had. V'charbo shlufa b'yado comes along the Malach to threaten Yoshua. Vayihi Hashem et Yoshua. Right away after this, we have the Ochan story and the failures in Ai. Vayimalu v'nei Yisrael. Vayihi shechad min amaram atayim tzofim. Kiyatchana he v'ashem sagar rachma. Vayihi kasher zaken Shmuel. V'lohu banav b'darko. Vayihi David l'chol drachav maskil v'ashem imo. What happens afterwards? Vayihi shaul oyena David, which was disastrous. Vayihi ki yashav ha-melech b'veito, and he wants to build the Beit HaMikdash, comes along Natan HaNavi, rak ata lo tivna abayit, you don't have rishus to build the Beit HaMikdash. Wait a minute. I mean, what about Vayihi b'yom ha-shmini and Parsha Shmini? And that's like the famous happiest day in history, right? V'tanya, doesn't it say over there, oto ha-yom ha-ita simcha lifnei ha-kadosh baruch hu ki yom shenivru bo shamayim v'aretz? Here it says, Vayihi b'yom ha-shmini, and throughout my Sibaratius, it says, Vayihi erev, Vayihi voker, yom echad. So therefore, this must be mamish that simcha of that Vayihi. So are you telling me that that's a sign of unhappiness? Well, yes. I mean, what was the most striking event after saying Vayihi b'yom ha-shmini was the horrifying death of Nadav Avihu right smack bang in the middle of all of this. That was what made it all the more painful. Okay, fine. How about Vayihi b'shmonim shana v'arba me'ot shana? This was mamish the beginning of the whole building of the Beis HaMikdash. It says over there, Hu HaKodesh HaShini, Demloch Shlomo Yisrael, Vayiven HaBayit LaHashem. What was bad about that? That's a Vayihi. And what's so bad about Vayihi kasher ra'a Yaakov et Rachel? And what's so bad about Vayer Vayivoker? You know, God made the world. Is it such a wreck? And that was even the first day. How about the second day? How about the third day? How about the fourth? How about the rest of the day? Come on, there's lots of examples. In Ketubah. I mean, why? How can you possibly believe that every time it says the word Vayihi, it means bad news? Omer Avashi, no. Yeah, you misunderstood. It's true. The word Vayihi alone doesn't necessarily mean bad news. Ika hachi v'ika hachi. Sometimes it's good news, sometimes it's bad news. But Vayihi b'mei is always bad news. So that's something that is limited. V'chamisha Vayihi b'mei havi. There's five places where we have it. They're all bad news. So we have Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh, Vayihi b'mei Shvot HaShoftim, Vayihi b'mei Amraphel. Those are the ones that we brought earlier as examples, but we also have Vayihi b'mei Achaz, and that was the story of Ritzin, Melech Aram, Pekach ben Remalio, that they wanted to destroy Yerushalayim. So that was war. And then there was the Vayihi b'mei Yehoyakim, and that was the beginning of the Churban. Omer Rabbi Levi, Dover zeh misoret b'yadenu mi'avotenu. So this, the Pashtus were just now continuing on other ma'amorim of Rabbi Levi that are misoret mi'avotenu. Amotz v'amatzia achim hav. We know that Amotz, who was Yeshayahu ben Amotz, it was Yeshayahu's father. And the, well, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. So we have Amotz and Amatzia. So they were actually brothers. It was a little bit confusing when they were kids, but you never know what kids can get over. So Amotz and Amatzia were brothers. And Amatzia, of course, was the Melech of Yehuda. Well, so what do I care? I understand. Mike Amashmalan, what's the meaning of that? No, it's very important. Because Kiyalan Meshuba Nachmeni Omar Rabbi Yonatan. So if a kala in her, even in the home of her husband's homes, in his parents' home, so she's visiting her in-laws, if she still maintains her own proper tzniut, so she is zocha to have kings and neviim that come out of her. How do we know this? From the story of Tamar. Because it says by Tamar, Vayirea Yehuda v'yachshev el zonaki chista panea. So he thought that she was a whore because she had her face covered. Now that does not make sense. I mean, that certainly is not a sign of a prostitute. Mishum de chista panea v'yachshev el zona. That's absurd. Ela mishum de chista panea bevet avchamia v'lo avayadala. He couldn't identify her. That's what it's saying. Since every time that he had seen her before, she had her face covered and he didn't know what she looked like. So when he saw this gorgeous girl without a face covering, he had no idea it was his daughter-in-law. Therefore, he thought that she must be this harlot. So mishum de chista panea bevet avchamia v'lo avayadala. And therefore, she ended up having children that were Melochim and Neviim. Melochim, obviously, because that was the whole story of parrots. And that's David HaMelech. But where do we see that she had Neviim? Ah, the Amar Rabbi Levi. Amotz v'amatzia. This is Misorot B'yadeinu Me'avatenu. And it says Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amotz. And if Amotz and Amatzia were brothers, then that means that they came from parrots. So this means that from Tamar, we also had the additional Neviyas of Yeshayahu HaNavi. Another thing that's a Mesoros from Rabbi Levi. Dover zeh Mesoros b'yadeinu miyavotenu. Mokom Aron eino min hamida. That the Oren HaBris did not take up three-dimensional space at all. So even though you could see it there, but if you would measure the distance from the wall to the Oren, whichever side you measured, you would always have the same amount of three-dimensional space, but you never got to the Oren. So if you measured from the right, you measured 10 amas to the Oren. If you measured from the left, you measured 10 amas to the Oren. But where the heck was the Oren? Well, what can you do? And so the Beis HaMikdash basically was hyperspace, which is why we have Rabbi Barnea's tour taking us also through hypertime. But we'll need to get some special kind of reshus, I guess, for that kind of thing. But here's where you can see it, because it says, Tananami Hachi, you can see this from the Braisa. Aron Sha Samoshe Yesho Eser Amot Akot Ruach. Wherever you would measure from the wall, you would get 10 amos on either side, because it says Beferish, Lifnei Advir, Esrim Ama Orech, Esrim Ama Rochav. So that means that the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was in front of the Mechitza, the Parochas, was 20 by 20. And it says that on the Oren, Knaf HaKruv Echad Esr Amot, V'Knaf HaKruv Echad Esr Amot, and if the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim was only 20 amas, and there was 10 amas of length to every one of those wings, where exactly was the space of the Oren itself? Alav Shmamina, Benesaya Omeid, it took up zero space. But wait, we've jumped ahead. What about the introduction? So it turns out, we'll see why, but it turns out that everybody, in order to be able to be Dereish the Megillah, had to give a fundamental theme to the Megillah. And if you think that the Rabbeinu Bakia themes were problematic, I mean, let me tell you, some of these themes are even crazier, but every one of the Chachamim that wanted to be Dorish on the Megillah first gave you an overarching theme, which he called a Petach. So this is the gateway to being able to understand the Megillah. So before we get to the drushes of the Megillah, we want to talk about the gateways to the Megillah. So Rabbi Yonatan had his gateway. And he would start by saying, look, you have to understand the context. Context is, V'kamti aleihem, v'ichrati lebavel shem usha'ar v'nin v'neched ne'um Hashem. So here, the Navi is basically talking about the destruction of Bavel to come in Yeshayahu, and it refers to different elements of Bavel. So what is the shame of Bavel? The shame of Bavel that will be destroyed is the Babylonian script. Interesting, because that sure was important to our Masechet, wasn't it? We just had all of this discussion about language characters. And now it turns out that the whole point of Purim, which is the destruction of Bavel completely, that all of this had to do with the writing? That is very strange. And then when it says the Sha'ar, that refers to language. Oh my gosh, language. That was also very central, of course, to everything that we've been discussing until now, the different languages, Targum, Greek, and so on. Okay, so that was part of the whole original vision. Incredible. Okay, so Akkadian is left, as Rabbanea points out, only to Rabbanea, but nobody else has got it, right? And then Nin is always a lotion of Malchus, because it's Yinon Shmo, that's Lifnei Areach, Yinon Shmo, which is the Malchus that's coming. And Neched means the actual children of Bavel, and the destruction at that moment of the Megillah is the destruction of Vashti, which is the last granddaughter, historical granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. So that means that at the moment of the opening of the Megillah, when we had the death of Vashti, the new Gezerah that everybody speaks whatever language he wants to, Midaber Kelashon Amo, and the sending out of letters in every different script, that's Kelashonam and Kichtavam, we're being Mekayim, this incredible moment of the entire Nevi'ahs of Yeshayahu, which now suddenly becomes the opening to Megillas Esther. Man, this is quite an introduction, an amazing introduction. It sheds so much light on the weird things that we talk about in the Masech. Reb Shmuel ben Nachmani patach lapit chalai parashat Miyachi. He starts from somewhere else. And he starts from the Posek in Yeshayahu, which is tachat anatzutz yale berosh v'tachat asirpad yale hadas v'yale Hashem l'shem lo'ot olam lo yikaret. So we dash in every one of those words. Tachat hanatzutz, this is a reference to Haman HaRasha. Shasatz ma'avodah zara. We see that as kol hanatzutzim v'kol hanahalolim. Yale berosh, berosh. Ah, Mordechai, the rosh, because this is the first remez. Where does he say rosh? The color b'samim shenema. Ata kach lecha b'samim rosh. Woo, mor deror. Well. What do you know? Look at the targum of the word mor deror, and it reads mori dachi. Mori dachi. Say that fast, and you get Mordechai. And tachat hasirpad, which is a type of thorn bush, that is tachat Vashti harasha bat benosh Nebuchadnezzar harasha, who was the one that was Saraf Refidat Beit Hashem, who burnt the place that was the resting place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sort of like the bedding on a couch. Tichtiv Refidato Zahav, which was the Kaporet. Niale Hadas, who's Esther Amalka, and she recreates that Refida, and she's called Hadas. Shinema Vahi Omenet Hadassah. V'hayala Hashem L'shem, that became the mitzvah Mikra Megillah, that is the Pirsum Hanes. And it actually is a makor for new brachas. La'ot olam lo yikaret. That refers to Yemei Purim, where we say, Yemei Purim ha'elo lo yosif. And that's it, forever. So this is la'ot olam lo yikaret. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, potach la'pitcha lo'hai parshat ha'mihachat. So we're continuing now with the various pitachim, the opening, the doorways, gateways into the Sefer of Esther. And he found that the important gateway is V'ayak asher sas Hashem alechem leitiv etchem kein yasis lahara etchem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going, this is what it talks about, the posik in Devarim. How does this make sense? As the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy, chas v'chalila, that he should be yasis lahara? ומיוחדי הקדוש ברוך הוא במתפלתן של רשעים, I mean, even the biggest רשעים, even the יומס העולם, he is never happy. Take a look at this. It says, בצאת לפני החלוץ, ואומרים, הודו להשם, כי לעולם חסדו. So here was Yehoshaphat, who's going out to fight Ammon and Moab, this is the Pashas, even though Rashi has given, and on their way to the battle, so it says over there, Hodu Lashem Kili Olam Chazdo. How come it doesn't say Hodu Lashem Kitov? Mipnei ma lo nemar Kitov bo da'azo. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy. Fi she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'mapalatan shel rishaim. This is even talking about Ammon and Moab. So we violate the Hodu Lashem Kitov, which appears in so many different psukim. Whenever we talk about Hodu Lashem, we always talk about Kitov. Why would we be missing it? Must be because this is not an expression of the Tovas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is not what he wants to be expressed in the world. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, we see even at Kriyas Yamsuf, Maidichtiv, V'lo Karav Ze Al Ze Kol HaLailat. It says over there, Pashtus means that Mitzrayim didn't attack Yisrael in the middle of the night. But over here we're saying Ze El Ze is based on the Pasuk, V'kora Ze El Ze V'yamar, which is a remes to the Shira that the Malachim say. And here it says in the Pasuk, no, they couldn't get Ze El Ze. So in other words, they were unable to start the Shira. Bikshu Malachi Asharit Lomar Shira, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you guys, crazy? Ma'asei Adai Tovim V'yam V'atem Omrim Shira. But I mean, you think this is a good thing that we have to drown all of these people in the Yam, and you're making it into a song? I mean, from maybe a limited point of view, it's a song, but from my expression of Chesed in the Olam, this is not what I want to see. So, I mean, if even on the Mitzrim, this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want to hear your Shira. So what, Yehoshaphat's going to go now and say, Hodu Lashem Kitov, where this is not an expression of his Teva. So how do you explain that Pasuk? This is how it became a Peticha. Omar Rabbi Elazar, it means, if you look carefully at the words, Hu Enosas, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy about it. Aval Acherim Mesis, the idea over here is that the Goyim took, this is like the first place we see that they sat down together and they're having a seuda and they're having fun. And the whole context of this fun and joy that they're having is joy over what they perceive to be the forthcoming destruction of the Jews. So they're dancing at the final solution. So that's good for the Pesach. And therefore, Daikanami, if you're Medayik in the Pesach, you note that it says, Kein Yasis, doesn't say Yasus. Yasus would mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy. But here it says Yasis, that means he will make other people happy. Shema Aminat, that proves it for sure. Rabab Rabakana Patachla. No, so this should be the new recording, right? No, we're still there. Rabab Rabakana Patachla Pitchalai Pashat Amiacha. La Adam Shetov Lefanav Natan Chokhma V'daat V'simcha. V'lachotei, so it continues on like this. V'lachotei Natan Inyan Lesof Vilichnos Latetatov Lifnei Elokim. So the implication to that pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the way for the ultimate dispensation of the Teva in the world by initially providing for big Rishoyim, and they do all the work. So they build the civilizations and they collect the money and they appear to be having their way. But in the end, all of that was to give the individual that was all meant for eventually, it was the Tov Lefanav. So therefore, we dash in the Pasuk. This, of course, is all deep involved in the idea of Hachana and Memuchan and the way that everything is prepared in terms of Neis Nister in advance. So here we're darshaning the Pesach like this. The Adam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds to be good, that person, first off, is given all of the chokhmah and the das and the real simcha. That refers to Mordechai HaTzadik. How did he get all of those things that provided for it? Because lachotei natan inyan lesof v'lichnos. So to the people who are chatoim, his whole life is dedicated to collecting together a fortune and making all kinds of businesses and success. That refers to Haman. And what is the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all of this to Rishchote? Latet letov lifnei Elohim, so that he can give it to the Tov. And that was the Tov that we said, L'adam shetov lefanav. So that is why it says in the end that all of that was given over to Mordechai ve'Esther. Zeh Mordechai ve'Esther, as it says in the Pasuk, Vatasem Esther et Mordechai al Beit Haman. So all of that, that Haman had worked his whole life to achieve, was given to Mordechai. Rabba bar Ofran, Patach lapitcha lahai parshata mihacha, V'samti chisi be'elam, V'havadti misham melech v'sarim. So I am going, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to put my kisei malchut in Elam. Elam, it says Shushan Abira Asher be'Elam. So that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina was piled there. Who is the melech that he destroyed? The melech that it's referring to is Vashti. She was wiped out. And the Sarim is referring to Haman the Aseret Banav. Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak potach lapitcha lahai parshata mihacha. And furthermore, ki avadim anachtu b'avudatinu lo azavunu elohinu v'yeta lenu chesed lifnei malchev paras. Even though we, Yisrael, were in a terrible matzav, and we were still in a state of avdus, because we had not yet attained our own malchus, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't forsaken us. And instead, he got tremendous chesed in the eyes of Malchei Paras, that they should be able to do good for us. When is that that we saw that the entire Malchus was aimed towards the Teva of Yisrael? That was during the time of Haman.